What's going on? What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Vunganyi right here in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We'd love to have you on board. This is Upfront on The Voice of America.
Welcome, welcome. Well, at The Voice of America News, yeah, presenting, you know, it's Upfront Show. Blazing up the blaze. Reaching out to you from out of The Voice of America News. Yeah, Wally Money Wally Lights the last year. Yeah, Rastafari.
In many schools across Africa, disciplinary action often comes in form of corporal punishment. Teachers do not hesitate to use the cane, slaps and whips to maintain discipline in class. Students who underperform in class are also punished as a way to scare them into performing better on the next exam. In an education system where a lot of attention is paid to performance in standardized tests, a student who falls behind a certain grade will most likely be punished by whipping or beating or slapping by the teachers. Now, of late, there has been some debates on how effective corporal punishment is in helping students improve on discipline and academics. In some parts of Africa, laws have been passed to make it illegal to beat students, but it still persists. And we continue to see cases where students are severely injured both physically and emotionally by the beatings. Some teachers and parents continue to support corporal punishment. They say that this is the only way that discipline can be maintained and academics improved in schools. Others disagree. In fact, they say that such punishment is ineffective and also violates international child laws. So what is your take on this? Should beating or corporal punishment be banned in schools? Does your school punish students by beating them when they commit an infraction or do not do well in school? Let's talk. This is Upfront on The Voice of America. I'm Jackson Vunganyi in Washington with Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa.
In Africa generally, when you are young, the best way to bring you up is to through certain trainings, either from your aunties or your uncles or your mother or your father, about specific roles of being a man and being a woman in the future. So when you do something wrong, the best correction actually is to at least give you some stroke. Yes, of course. I when I was in primary school, I had to go through so many of this. One is that sometimes you go to school very late, sometimes you don't abide by the school rules and regulations, and the best way to correct you up is to give you some few canes.
Find a way how to correct them. Apart from having inflicting physical, like physical injury to make them understand that what they are doing is wrong, you can correct them by probably instilling maybe something else, maybe information that can correct them and help them understand that what they're doing is wrong and they should do things differently. You will hate the person punishing you. It doesn't matter whether you are wrong or not. You see, that is another problem. Because there are some teachers I hate. I used to hate them, of course not now, but I used to hate them because the punishment, they would punish you and you think you're not wrong, but you see them, they feel you're wrong. But because they don't find a way to communicate it, they want to inflict that physical injury or pain so that to make you understand. Of course, you'll try, you'll understand, but you sometimes you don't even want to do the right thing anyway because you are annoyed as well. So it doesn't work that much. Yeah, it doesn't work.
Once a teacher beating a student, that student will be afraid when the teacher enters the class. Instead of concentrating on what he or she is teaching, he or she will be like, oh, this teacher beats me every day, so he or she won't concentrate on what he or she is teaching.
Beating in school is an effective disciplinary measure because there are some students who are naughty.
But once you have corrected a child and the child has changed, the beating should stop. But when the child has refused to change, then it should continue.
I don't think that's the best way. If you talk to somebody and if you talk to that person in a wise way, I think that person is going to be able to hear you out and then maybe stop those kind of things that they're doing.
No, I've never been beaten at school because when the teacher says something, I used to listen.
Yeah, I remember this other time when I was in secondary school. I think I was making a lot of noise in class and I was beaten by the teacher, but I didn't support it. So I think teachers are not supposed to beat the children because their job is to teach them and not to beat them.
I'm not satisfied now because you can see that several things have changed in the education system. There was at one point in time beating was allowed, teachers to beat, but now the education system doesn't allow this. So it has given much freedom to students and so on. I don't like it. I wish to back in the days when the system allowed indeed beating of students, but now with so many laws, with the democracy, and all things have changed, and we've seen that there's so much indiscipline among our students.
Yeah, I remember this other time when I was in secondary school. I think I was making a lot of noise in class and I was beaten by the teacher. I didn't support it because I think it was on my side, but I didn't support it. I think teachers are not supposed to beat the children because their job is to teach them and not to beat them.
We know that corporal punishment is used in schools around the continent for a number of reasons. Most commonly, it's to instill discipline or to punish students for alleged wrongdoing, whatever the case may be. But we've certainly heard reports of young children receiving corporal punishment, canings, beatings, etc., for coming to school late, missing school without permission, having dirty or torn school uniforms, not doing homework, disobeying teachers' demands, etc., etc., etc. These are just some of the reasons. And a lot of these reasons are things that most students would come across in their everyday lives. You might be late or you might have missed your doing your homework for a valid reason. These are things that happen in schools every day, and we need to discuss what are the correct punishments then to be handed out. Certainly we can't say that bringing out the whip will always be the best way.
Up front of the Voice of America, we are talking about corporal punishment in schools in different educational institutions around the continent. Corporal punishment has been banned in many educational systems around Africa, but it still persists, and some teachers still maintain that it is necessary, or many educators still maintain that it is necessary that kids get a spanking or a beating or whatever form of punishment you would consider as corporal whenever there is any type of infraction, to put them in line. In the studio with me is my colleague Bello Galadanche from the Hausa Service. Bello is a product of Nigeria's education system. Bello, did you ever get spanked as a kid growing up in Nigeria, going to school in Nigeria?
Absolutely. First of all, thank you for having me here. I'm very glad to be talking about this issue, which is very memorable to almost everyone that went to boarding schools in Africa. Well, kids, first of all, are the delicate and founding foundation and blocks of society. Let's look at the overall reason why kids go to school. Is to be disciplined, is to be educated, and it is to know how to live in a civilized society.
Right.
So spankings, beatings, they can get violent, they can hurt the kids, and they can cause psychological trauma.
Can you describe for us some of the physical punishment that you received?
Oh,
when
yeah,
you're
a lot
in,
of physical punishment
in boarding schools.
In boarding schools, I mean, we had frog jumps. You know what a frog jump is?
Frog jump, yes, like you jump like a
so
frog.
So you squat, and then you hold your two ears with your right and left hands, and then you jump like
a frog.
Okay, so frog
jumping is one. What's the next one?
There's beatings with either, you know, branches of trees or with wires or
Canes.
Or canes.
Right.
There are other hard labor like sweeping.
They would beat which part of your body was the receiving end of the punishment?
Oh, well, you know, it's a choice.
Made by the teacher.
Yes, the punisher has a choice of where to beat. Some beat you on your hands, some beat you on your legs, some on your butt, some on your back.
Okay.
While
now, and this is based on what you've done. Whatever type of infraction that you've done that deserves of punishment, the teacher will decide which part to beat you and using which type of tool.
Absolutely, but you remember most schools in Africa don't have something like a constitution that says this punishment deserves this kind of beating.
Right.
This is the kind of why.
So the teacher decides which one.
The teacher decides, and that usually is very unjust because the teacher cannot be just all the time to give the same amounts of punishment.
Now, do you find that the punishment helped you as a kid in learning, or it deterred your learning process?
I would
process?
Say yes. I mean, if a teacher that kind of punishes comes into class, I'm much more quieter than when a teacher, you know, that
so you pay more attention.
You might not pay more attention, but you kind of are more focused and more disciplined.
Because you're scared of the cane.
Because you're scared of the cane.
Right.
You're scared of the cane. I mean,
but then people will say then that you're not really paying attention because you want to learn. You're paying attention more because you're scared.
There is a cane there. So that's why I'm advocating for an effective. So how can punishment be effective? How can a teacher or a school has a punishment policy that still is effective in, you know, disciplining the children and at the same time motivating them?
Right.
To
I'm getting the
person.
Impression from our conversation that you're not very much in favor with the physical punishment, the beatings or the corporal punishment. You would rather advocate for, you know, taking away time from kids to play, timeouts, or the frog jumping.
Yes, I feel psychologically beatings for a little kid. Since from then, this kid has been told, hey, you don't really know what your liberty is. And I have a right over your body than you do. And then I will beat you and then you can't do anything about it.
Africa. The argument among the perpetrators of the punishments is that if you beat students, they will perform or they will understand it better and they will know better next time. Others disagree and say that this form of education, quote unquote, damages a student's prospects of being a well-formed adult. It also interferes with the child's right to receive an education and to be protected from violence. Christo Nokori is a Nigerian-American whose parents are immigrants from Nigeria. She went to school in suburban Washington and was never at the receiving end of any type of corporal punishment, either at school or at home.
So usually the teachers would give the students about 2 to 3 warnings, and then kind of depending on the offense, if you have it, they would either kind of not let them go out to recess, or they'd have extra homework.
Extra homework was punishment.
They'd be sent to the principal's office, and then the teachers would be called into conferences. So that's kind of like the level of escalation.
Okay.
Sometimes they'd
be... So there was, if you did the first time, second time offense, third time offense, things.
So usually there was like warnings, and then if you kind of didn't pay attention to the warnings, then start with like no recess, more homework.
Now, did that work?
Office. I mean, it worked for me. I was always afraid of getting in trouble.
Really?
But like for other kids, I mean, it kind of just depends. I mean, you always have those problem kids in class that really just like don't care and act out. But I feel like a lot of it is just kind of like what's being taught and just having on the part of teachers making sure that their content is interesting to everybody and like can keep everyone.
So there was the option of being whipped by a teacher or any school administrator for any infractions.
Oh, no, that would never happen.
Was not part of it.
No, not at all. Not
were you raised up to understand that wasn't part of the option? Was there fear at any point that I will overplay my hand and that teacher might smack me or beat me?
No, I mean, there'd be legal repercussions to the school if that ever happened to students.
And as a student, you knew that?
I mean, I knew that that wasn't the protocol. So, I mean, because that never happened. And so if it did happen, like, run home and tell mom and dad. And then...
Now, your parents at home didn't spank you at all?
No, I was always good.
Really? Come on now. I mean, your parents, I guess, a different approach to discipline, or different attitude to
I
to
think expanding. Because that they went through that, I feel like they did not want to have the same approach to disciplining their children as they went through when they were young. So, like, with me and my brothers, it never was spankings. At least for me, like, they never kind of went that route. They usually just tell me to do something, and then I...
You were just a good kid.
Yeah, basically.
Every kid has a rebellious side to them. How were you able to maintain that and get away with it?
I mean, what they don't know can't hurt them, right?
I see. You were just too smart to be caught doing it. Gotcha. Do you feel like that upbringing shaped you?
Yeah, I mean, I think it did. I mean, I was always kind of like respectful
towards... At least positively
influenced. Yeah, I mean, I think it did. I think I kind of recognize now like what I see, at least in like the younger generations, that, I mean, I feel like there's not as much kind of respect for elders and like respect for parents and teachers as there were in prior generations, which is a bit alarming. But for me, it kind of was like, I feel like I grew up with those values of, you know, respecting those that are older than you. A red wine.
Nadia, what is the policy on corporal punishment in South Africa? Were you beaten as a young high school student?
While corporal punishment is illegal in South Africa, Jackson, teachers do not have a mandate to beat children. It is against the law. There have been many cases where students have raised the alarm. Just recently, we've had an incident in South Africa where amateur footage, cell phone footage actually, has come to light, where students were beaten on the school ground by the principal and accompanied by the school security guards. In the background somewhere, a fellow student was actually recording the beating. This has caused a huge uproar in the country. It is against the law. Similarly with parents as well, parents are not allowed, in terms of the law, to beat their children. The problem is that in some of the cases we've seen in South Africa, it's still being done, even though it's not supposed to be done, it is still being done. And it's not just light beatings that we are seeing, Jackson. It's beatings where young people are sustaining serious injuries. We've seen bruising to the face, to the body. And there's been a big outcry. Human rights bodies are saying we need to step up the watch against this. But on the other hand now, teachers are saying the situations in school are becoming increasingly hard to deal with. And that ranges from rebellious behavior from students in the school. This has been an issue that's been in our local news a lot recently. And we've certainly had arguments from both sides. There are a lot of traditionalists who say, well, in the past, young people were beaten. And they've turned out quite all right. It was a means of instilling discipline. But I think the worrying fact is that in some of the incidences we're seeing now, it goes beyond instilling discipline, but it's actually injuring children in such a way that it might turn them off education, that it turns them away from school, that they don't want to come back into the classroom, they don't want to face teachers because they're living in fear. And certainly that's not the type of environment that we want to have in our schools anywhere around the country. I'm blind to you, haters. Can't touch me, war instigators.
Miss every silo, the real scared. The mala. Yeah, I'm Alex Omodi. In Africa generally, most of the colonial people, they say Africans learn better by being beaten or whatever. And also, the aspect is that it is already in our belief that when you want to correct somebody, for that person to feel that he has done something, he also has done something wrong, you have to pinch a bit.
It depends how you bring up a child. I'm a father. I have two kids. They are 2 and 4 years. Sometimes I have to quarrel with them and, you know, make them understand that what they are doing is not right. But I think also, even if you don't have to beat a child for them to know if something is wrong, you can talk to them. And you see, if you talk to them politely, it even goes far more than correcting them, like than beating them. Because you see, if you beat them, you instill fear. You know, and fear is not good, especially if a child grows up fearing somebody or something that much, they have developed some kind of psychological problem. So I think this issue of punishment, punishing children, is something which actually should be abolished.
Spanking is actually part of the bringing up of the child, you know. It depends on the, you know, the context and the culture.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Nadia, some have argued that corporal punishment is not limited to schools and that in fact it's an extension of the type of disciplinary action that many African parents exercise at home with their children. When a child misbehaves, they get slapped or beaten by anybody, actually a family member has the right to discipline them. So are teachers only doing what is generally acceptable form of disciplinary action in an African home? So my colleague Henok Fente, we were recounting our experiences in high school. He went to school in Ethiopia, I went to school in East Africa. We are both recipients of corporal punishment. Henok agrees with me that this is an extension of the type of disciplinary action or activity that many African parents exercise in their homes. And so in school, it becomes a norm.
Beating was part of the regular school life. It starts at the flag hoisting ceremony in the morning, where we sing the national anthem. And right after the national anthem is when they call the bad boys of the entire school.
That was like a morning ritual every day.
It's a morning ritual. So
who has compiled the list? Who compiles the
Ababa
list?
Ababa Alamu. You know, we have homeroom teachers who basically have our attendance. They know our grades and everything. They have an understanding of where everybody is in terms of behavior. And, you know, at the end of the year, they also give you grades for that.
Right.
So they keep a tab on you, pretty much. And when that tab is full, then you would be called out in the morning flag hoisting ceremony. And Ababa Alamu, come here. And his crime would be read. He stole a carrot from the school agriculture project where the student actually worked himself. And he would be beat right in front of us. But so he would be sentenced to whipping, like 10 whipping, 15 whipping.
I find something very disturbing with these public whipping ceremonies. I feel like it's something ceremonial and you know, like some teachers are enjoying this. Like teachers enjoy this.
They enjoy it. And here's the thing, though. The students who are about to get that whipping, they understand it. So you put on 3 or 4 pants.
Yes, we used to do that too.
And you put like a winter jacket on in anticipation of that. So actually the teachers, especially there's a unit leader from the teachers. There's a unit leader for that, for the entire school, 1 or 2 unit leaders.
Who's like the chief?
They are the
punisher?
Chief punishers.
The chief whip, so to say.
And yes, yeah, so they would try it at first, and if it doesn't give a sound that they're expecting, if it goes like poof, and
it's not like the way you react to the hurt,
then you'd be asked to get your jacket off, take your pants, and you get real whipped.
And they've gotten creative over time. I mean, I don't know how bad it is right now, but I find that school administrators have gotten very creative. I know in our high school, we had a person whose job was to go and collect whips from the forest. Did you have that person with the
yes.
title?
We have monitors, class monitors. And usually the class monitors, especially when I was in elementary school, are older guys. You know, these kids did some farming or herding. So they're like 15 when they're in first grade. Mm. So they would be the monitors of the class. And actually, in fact, a lot of the whipping comes from the monitors. They will just tell you, sit down straight. And if you don't sit down straight and don't say anything, if the teacher is not there, it's the monitor who's in charge. And they have every right.
They have absolute powers.
Yes.
Absolute powers over you.
And they would be the ones to go to the forest and collect whips for the homeroom teacher and the teachers as well. But the problem is, you know, these things don't last long. They're not plastics. You said they're really creative about it is, if you, in fact, use it, it's going to break after whipping two, three students.
Right.
They don't want, they want it to last.
Durability, so what they do, durability was something they were striving for.
Exactly. So some of this, you know, older country boys, they have a way of making these things durable. So what they do is they smoke it. So you put it under a chimney for 2 weeks. So when you whip a child, it's flexible enough that it's not going to break. And one of my second grade classmates, Salamun Bazey, I remember his name. He had 61 whipping on the left hand. And he stopped crying at some point. And he just, you know.
That's just horrible.
It's cruel.
So I guess, you know, in the most bizarre way, that's their way of fighting deforestation, you know. Preserve the whip, but inflict as much pain on
In
them.
High school, though, the school had a budget for a whip, an actual whip, you know, the ones that they used during slavery to whip. We had a budget for that. To get something, you know, somebody goes to the market to buy that. The unit leader carries one. All the security guards in front of the school carry one. So they would be like whipping students as they go into high school class. High school class.
Right. There was a bit of enjoyment here by the people who had that whip.
I mean, for them, it's a way of disciplining students, really. I mean, for me, it's really cruel and it's reciprocated. The monitor in the class does exactly the same thing that the teachers do. And even some of your classmates amongst one another, we become, you know, violent. Beating someone is okay. It's justified. You can beat someone. You can bully someone, whatever you want. Because, you know, violence in a way as a disciplinary measure is promoted right after singing the national anthem.
How effective was this, though, as a disciplinary measure? How effective?
I'll tell you what. It can be effective for some, but mainly if you look at it, a lot of students, in fact, when they are in high school, they started rioting and saying, well, if the teacher wants to beat me, I'll beat you because now I'm old enough to beat you. So that was the reaction that most of the teachers were getting. But I think teachers in elementary schools can get away with it because the children are not physically, you know, mature enough to challenge them and saying, why are you beating me?
Right.
So you just take the beating and hope that more of them are not coming. It's sad, you know. It doesn't help students learn better. It doesn't help students behave better. But
as
a community,
it promotes violence in society. That's what it does.
Yes, and it's community based.
People feel like they
can
solve their problems by just, like, you know, shooting at each other or beating at each other. I mean, I guess shooting is the extended version of beating. All right, Henok Fente, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, Jackson.
Nadia, when a child is in school, a teacher is expected to act as a substitute parent. So one should treat the students as if they were their own. In many cases, the students, when beaten, don't feel that way.
Absolutely, Jackson. I mean, you would hope that you raise your child and instill the necessary respect for your elders and respect really for the classroom and the school and your fellow learners. And so it is frustrating for teachers as well, where we see teachers are teaching overcrowded classes where they've got sometimes 100 or more students to a classroom. And all it really takes is a small pocket to disrupt learning for the whole day. I mean, there are extreme frustrations on both sides. But surely there's a line between instilling discipline and punishing in a non-physical way, to flooring a child where blood is spilled. Surely that's not acceptable. Surely that's against human rights. And certainly it has an impact on education, really. This is Jackson Gay in Washington, D.C.
and Nadia Sammy with Upfront on the Voice of America. Thank you for listening to Upfront on the Voice of America. I would like to thank my co-host Nadia Sammy all the way in Johannesburg, South Africa. I'd like to thank the contributors to the show from all over the continent who contributed to the show with their opinions on the issue for the day. You can always continue this conversation on our online platforms, our social media platforms, Twitter, on Facebook. My handle is @UpfrontAfrica. Also, find us on Facebook and like our page. Leave us a message and also let us.